ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth Livecast. My name is Jim Case, and I am your host, and I'm so excited that you're here today. We're going to have an amazing show. We're going to talk about triggers, momentum, and change, the power of a thought. When I was away last week, I was in Taos, and I went skiing, and I had an incredible experience that I want to share with you that really kind of defines the impact of our minds on our experience and how profoundly it impacts us. And not only is it profound, but it requires attention, and it requires attention to detail, and it requires a conscious focus because of the way it impacts. So we're going to get into all that on the other side, but this show is going to be a powerful one. It's going to be a chance for us all to kind of look at how the mind stimulates things in our world and how momentum is created through the thoughts that we think, and then what happens next, and then what happens next. So it's going to be fun to unravel this. I'm excited that you're here. While I'm thinking about it, if you like the show, please hit subscribe or hit like, depending on where you are. We're currently on YouTube Live. We're on E360 TV, which is our host. And you can enjoy that on the E360 TV app, which is available through Apple TV. It's available on Roku, Amazon Fire, and I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody, but Android and iOS. So E360TV.com or E360TV.com. You can go there as well and check out the live that's happening right now. You can also head to my Facebook page at Adventures in Truth. And there you can interact with the show. So if you like what's going on, or you want to comment, or you want to ask a question, find the live at the top of the Adventures in Truth Facebook page and type it into the comments. It'll show up here for me in the studio, and I will respond to y'all when I get the messages. So again, super glad you're here. Going to have a great show. And on the other side, we're going to dive right in. We'll be right back. All right. So we're going to start with My World is Good today. I like to start the show talking about some of the things that are going on. And the first of this is My World is Good. This movement is about, for me, 2021 is about the year of conscious creation. And why that's happened is that as I've observed, as all of you have lived the experiences that particularly over the last 4 years, it's been quite extraordinary and quite challenging. And I wanted to create a movement that didn't require emails and money, and all that it requires is your focus, your attention, and your intention. I believe we are 7.5 to 8 billion unique sparks of the divine. We are 7.5 to 8 billion worlds that are inhabiting this amazing planet called Earth. And the reason that I say that it's worlds is because each of us in our own context or within our own lives only have the ability to live our own lives, meaning nobody can live our life for us. Nobody can change our life for us. Nobody can make our choices for us. Ultimately, whether it's conscious or unconscious, we are responsible for our world, for the creation of our world, for our engagement in our world. And interestingly enough, each of us does that a little differently. And so when you're looking out into the world, what you see is a reflection of your perception. It's a reflection of the beliefs and ideas and concepts that you hold about everything. And it's reflected back to you in what you see in the world. Isn't that kind of amazing? And why that's so powerful is because it's sort of insular, you know? I mean, yeah, we're 7.5-8 billion people all here doing this thing, but we're doing it individually and collectively. So this movement, My World is Good, was about a neutral positive statement that didn't care about your sex, doesn't care about your religion, doesn't care about your politics, doesn't care about anything that has to do with categorizing or lumping people into groups. This is for everyone, everywhere, all the time. My World is Good. And the purpose of this is to focus us in our world, in the context of our world and our perception, to focus us into this positive place so that as we begin to generate the momentum of My World is Good, we begin to see it in our perception because we are creating it in our reality. And then as we each do this, the coolest things begin to happen because not only do you start to see it in your own world, but that energy aligns with others who are carrying like energy. So the more of us who are stimulating our vibrations with My World is Good are attracting that energy to us. Not only the My World is Good, but other energies of the world is good from all around the world. And what that does is it creates momentum, and that momentum creates a change in what I call the mass consciousness. That's the thoughts and ideas and beliefs that we all agree on and think about. And there's been so much negative input into that mass consciousness that it's time for us to make a change. And so the more of us that do this, the greater the tipping point that will occur. My world is good. So jump onto that tipping point. Jump into that experience. It doesn't take much. It's just your intention, attention, and focus. My world is good. My world is good. My world is good. Say it 5 or 10 times. Say it throughout the day. Feel it. Speak it. And then feel it some more. And do that often. And you're going to begin to see change, not only within the construct of your world, but in the construct of our world. So My World is Good. Join the Year of Conscious Creation. Let's do this together. I'm excited to have you here. And we're going to come back in just a second. We'll be right back. All right. Part two of this fabulousness. I forgot to do all my buttons. Gosh darn it. Me and my buttons. I'm so excited about my book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love. I want y'all to really seriously consider picking up this book. It's available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's on Kindle and other places that you buy books. You can find it. My brain is going blank at the moment. But this book is powerful. This book can change your life. And the reason that I say that so confidently is because what I know is that when you change your relationship with fear, it changes everything in your life. It's a paradigm shift because we're so inundated so much of the time, so consistently with a fear message from without that it's hard to keep it from getting within. And of course, we've all been on the planet for a certain amount of time. So there's a certain amount of entrainment that's gone on to believing that fear is something necessary. Fear is something we have to have. Fear is something that needs to run our lives. And I'm saying, no, it doesn't ever. Fear is a choice. And we're going to talk about that some today as part of this topic. So work with me here, but check it out, www.fearisachoicebook.com. You can go there. You can learn more about the book. You can learn, you can actually read some of the testimonials from and reviews of the book. You can watch some videos about the book, but it's pretty awesome. And I encourage you to head over and check it out. Well worth it, especially because of the change that you can create in your world as a result of it. So fearisachoicebook.com, check it out. And we will be back to start the show right after this. All right, we are back. Triggers, momentum. Oh, hi, Lauren. How are you? Good to see you. Thanks for being here. Lauren says hi this evening, so we're saying hi back. How you doing, Lauren? Good to see you. So triggers, momentum, and change, the impact of a thought. So I'm going to start this with an interesting little story that happened. So I went on a trip to Taos in New Mexico to go skiing with some friends, and it was the first time that I've done this in a lot of years. I'd been skiing. That would be my second time being on skis again in probably 25 years. So needless to say, I was excited about the trip. I was going with hardcore skiers, like crazy hardcore skiers, and amazing people, beautiful, wonderful people to be around. But I was really clear that I was a little out of the league there, you know? So this whole process of going to the mountain, you know, of course it was a little, there was part of me concerned. There was part of me wondering what I was going to do about it. Part of me was, am I going to be able to keep up? You know, all that stuff going on. So, and I had been working on myself as far as that was concerned, you know, in my meditation and in my daily practice, doing the things to help me just acknowledge that the stuff was there, but then to recognize that I could do different. So I went out, we went out one day and we skied in advance of the trip, and it felt amazing. My body felt good. I felt good on the skis. I wasn't falling all over the place. I wasn't flying down the mountain like those guys were, but I was feeling good in my own zone, and it was feeling really good for me. So I was looking forward to the trip. So that was one way that I helped to assuage some of the, you know, the stuff that comes up around that, the performance anxiety, as it were. So we get to the mountain for the first time, much of what we did in advance, but I had to pay for my lift ticket once I got there. And so we get up to the window, and I'm feeling not a little bit off, but you know, I'm ready. You know, I'm excited. It's going to be fun. It's kind of a gray, snowy day. The mountain looks beautiful, and everybody's really jazzed. So we go up to the gate. We go up to get the tickets, and my friend who has an annual pass was on a reservation. So we go to the desk. I go to the desk, and I go to pull out my credit card, and I look in my bag, and I can't find my wallet. And I felt the floor fall out from underneath me, literally, because for me, I tend to be a pretty organized person. I don't know that I would go as far as type A, but I'm pretty organized and I'm pretty conscious of my world. So I pay attention to the details. So I like to make, you know, making sure my stuff is in the bag, making sure stuff where it needs to be. And I do that in a way that's not manic. I do it in a way that's just about, this is how I like things. So to show up at this place and not have my wallet was completely like off-kiltering for me, because it triggered all kinds of craziness. It triggered insecurity, because now I had to have one of my friend who invited me had to temporarily pay for, which I was going to pay back. But it still was this image thing like, oh, here I am, the new guy on the block, and now I got to get a credit card for my friend to pay for my ticket because I don't have my wallet because I left it back in the hotel. What was I thinking? And that whole thing started. So I was trying to shake it off. He's like, dude, it's not a big deal. You're going to pay me back for it. And yet inside there was a little bit of confidence deterioration going on there, because it was so not my MO that I was busy in my mind trying to figure out how I could have done this. How could I have possibly left my wallet back at the house? So we got the tickets, we went, I got my equipment, we go up to go skiing, and it's a very mental process. The mind is just going, you know, and I'm finding myself as we're skiing down the mountain, and it's awesome because we go, you know, we ski a segment, we pause, we regroup, we choose the next course, we go, we regroup, we all try to stay together and enjoy the experience together. And so as we're doing this, I'm in my head. As I'm skiing down the mountain, I'm finding myself getting all amped up. And I'm like, dude, stop. Just ski you. Ski you. You can't ski like them. You haven't been on skis one time in 25 years. You can't ski like them. Ski your game. Ski what you can ski and stay in the realm of that. Don't worry about what they're doing. They're skilled enough to understand what you're doing. So just keep at that. Well, that went on for the entire day. I only fell, I think, twice, and one was a slash of ice, and I don't remember what the other one was. But again, because of the mindset of having forgot the wallet, I was again on myself. Oh man, now I'm falling down. Now I'm this, and now I'm not doing enough, and now I can't ski enough. And I'm trying to shift the internal dialogue. But I'm not being very successful. At different points on the lifts, the guys are saying, hey, how are you doing? And I'm like, I'm good. And I'm talking myself up, and I'm trying to stay in enthusiasm and excitement about it and being true to my own process, because I don't know what this is going to be like. And I've turned it into this major thing, right? So we finished the day. It was a great day. We skied. It was good. I stayed on my skis. I felt good on my skis. I did well on the runs. It was good. It was a good day. And we get back to the house that night. And that night, as I'm doing my nightly practice, I'm thinking about the next day. And I realize I'm having a ton of anxiety about the mountain. And every time I think about the mountain, I get like crazy scared. And I'm like, what in the heck is going on right now? Why am I freaking out about something I've already done? And I can't seem to shake it. And I'm not sleeping. And I can't seem to shake it. And I'm not sleeping. I maybe slept for an hour or two, maybe, but it was rough because I was still in that space. And all of the image stuff was cranked up to 900%. And here I am in this place, this beautiful, magical place in New Mexico, with wonderful people in this great environment. And I'm in my head, you know, just crazy in my head. But the momentum now has gone off kilter because remember, it started in the morning, lost the wallet or thought I lost. And that was the piece that I didn't tell you. End of the day, we finish up and I'm going through my stuff to make sure I have everything. And I go down into the pocket. And what is my bag? My wallet was there the whole time. The wallet was never at the house. I'm dying, right? So come 6 o'clock, 6:30 in the morning, I'm not sleeping. And I know now there's no way I can go on the mountain today, that day, because I hadn't slept. And all of the craziness going on in my head, I hadn't done anything with it. And I happen to go out of my room and I'm going to the bathroom and I notice my buddy is awake. And I'm feeling grossly insecure at this point. And I stop and I think, okay, this is the opportunity. Jump on it. You need to talk about this. And so I'm walking back from the bathroom. And I'm like, hey, Billy, can we talk for a sec? He said, sure. So I sit down. I share the whole experience, the whole thing, feeling like, you know, because it evolved into so much stupidness, you know, about being a fifth wheel and not wanting to rain on their parade and wanting to make sure they had the chance to go up to the tippy top of the mountain and jump off the top like they wanted to. And the things that I don't do, that I haven't built the skill for yet, but things that they do all the time when they go skiing. So it was a mixture of shame and guilt and embarrassment and disappointment and all of this craziness that I was just not being able to get a grip on. And so as we were talking, I said to him, hey, listen, I think today I'm going to take a break because this thing that has built momentum in my brain has not stopped. And I'm not going to take this on the mountain because if I take this on the mountain, it's not going to be pretty. So I did. I took the day. I got to hang with the dog. I got to spend some time with myself. I did meditation. I got to take a long walk and I got myself right. I got through. I let the momentum diminish. I got out of that momentum of the brain cycle and the spin cycle, in part because I talked to my friend and cleared some of it, in part because I did the work and I cleared the rest of it. When I went to ski the third day, which I wasn't originally intending to do because I thought I was going to ski the first 2 days and then not ski the third day again because I didn't know what my body was going to feel like. You know, 56 years old, I haven't skied in 25 years. I don't know what it's going to do. So I proceeded then to enjoy the second day. Ended up being fabulous. They came back from skiing. We had a wonderful evening. The next day we get up, we go skiing. It was a banner day. Couldn't have been prettier. Couldn't have been brighter. Couldn't have been better skiing for me. Couldn't have been better. I had the most amazing day. I ran that mountain like it was mine. I felt amazing. I kept saying on the first day, I'm just driving me nuts. I can't find my center. I can't find my center. I know my body and I know what it feels like in those situations. And I couldn't get my bearing. Not on the third day. On the third day, it was like, woof. I was lined up. I was locked in. I was feeling amazing, and which meant I skied better. I was skiing faster. I was skiing more confidently. I was feeling in my skis. It was extraordinary. And that was the point that I recognized that this is something I have to talk about with you all because I can't even begin to tell you how that one thought. And again, as I think about it more, it wasn't one thought. It was an accumulation, but it was one thought that unleashed the Kraken, as it were. It was the one thought, it was the one action of thinking that I had left my wallet at home, was the one thought that was required to debilitate my entire self-esteem. if that is not the craziest thing ever, right? It just kicked the legs out from everything under me. I was no longer a decent person. I was a bum. I was, you know, these people were going to think horrible things of me. And, you know, what kind of person am I that I don't, blah, 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 blah. You know, it just went on and on and on. So why is this important? Well, this is really important. And we're going to talk about it on the other side of the break. I want to take a minute. We're going to do a quick meditation. I want to get us lined up as, you know, putting my money where my mouth is, as they say, putting my time where my mouth is. I want you all to understand how important meditation is, how important using your breath is, how important it is to shifting anything that's going on in your experience. And as we get to talking about the momentum and the change process, this will help us all come together. I believe strongly in the theory where two or more are gathered. And so this meditative process, I feel like, helps us harmonize the energy of this topic together, so that as I'm going through this, the things that I'm sharing will relate to things that you understand in your own world, because we're on a vibrational channel. Does that make sense? So we're just going to take a moment here to focus. So I want you to just get comfortable with where you are. Shake it out. Let your body loosen up, whether you're laying down or standing up or sitting down. And I want you to begin to breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. Just bringing focus to your breath, in through the nose and out through the mouth. And as you do, let the body relax as much as you can wherever you are, and let your eyes settle, closed is best. Of course, if you're driving, you don't want to close your eyes. And just feel the breath, feel your body in this moment as you're inhaling and exhaling. Eyes are closed, and I want you to become aware of your energy, of your field, of the vibration around you. I want you to become aware of your energy. This is a big deal. Your energy is no insignificant thing. So let your mind imprint that for you, meaning as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth and you're into that space, just feel into the space around you. Feel the field around you. It has a consistency. It has a vibration. And within that field, you'll notice that everything you attend to is living in that field. Right? So there are these pockets of density in your field. Some of them are way more dense than others. Some of them are less dense. And they're all kinds of things. We attend to millions of things a day. Anything from a dog barking to a car driving by to someone cooking in the kitchen to something happening at work to an interaction with a friend to a problem in a relationship to an achievement that you made. All of those things hang out in your field. As you attend to them, as you or don't attend to them, depending on how you deal with that. But I want you to be aware of them. I want you to be aware and see how much of your energy is consumed in that stuff, right? And as you're inhaling through the nose and exhaling from the mouth, focus into your heart, right into the center of your heart where your breath is happening. And I want you to command your energy now. I want you to command it into your body. I want you to pull that amazing field into the heart. I want you to consciously pull it all inside, because I want you to have an experience of the inside of you. Feel that energy. And what's going to happen is those things that your energy is attending to are still going to be there. So if they're important, they'll be there when you're done and when you expand your energy. So don't let yourself worry about that. The good thing is that if you let them go, the things that are of little significance will just simply go away without your attention. So feeling that energy coalescing into the heart space, so you feel that great warmth and tingling growing in your heart space as you focus all that vibration. And I want you to allow that consciousness now, keeping your eyes closed as you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. Let it travel through your head. I want you to go in and have an experience of your own brain, of your sinus cavities, of the space behind your eyeballs. I want you to hear. I want you to be in your ears. I want you to experience all of the muscles and tendons and veins and arteries and bone structure that exists in your neck. I want you to focus that consciousness in your brain and travel down the brainstem until you get to the spinal cord, and feel that space there where those two connect, and feel the fluid that surrounds the cord as you move your awareness down that entire beautiful life-affirming cord and all the nerves that expand off of it. and the vertebrae that are protecting it. And then let that consciousness roam around your torso. Feel all of your own organs, all of your own tissue, your blood, your meniscus, all of it. Just be aware of it. And if you notice something is in discomfort, you can simply focus your attention there, breathe into it, and expand it. Let it dissipate. Don't focus and intend to in intending in it. Just be aware of it. Focus some breath to it. Let it flow. And then let that awareness travel through your body, through your hips, through your legs and knees and arms and all the way through your body. Feel the power of your awareness of your inside self. Be connected with all that's going on here. That's part of how we become conscious, is being aware of all that we are, right? And so now I want you to bring all of that awareness back into the chest, back into the breath. And we're going to focus everything now into the breath as we do some focused breathing for just a moment. We're going to inhale to a count of four, full inhale, expanding 360 degrees, breathing up, and then resting in that fullness, feeling the amazing experience of that fullness. And then choosing, opening and choosing to release by breathing out of the mouth, surrendering it all of the energy, all of the air, surrendering it all to a count of six, letting it go, completely purging the lungs of all that old stale air and energy. And then you're going to rest in the void. You're going to rest in the emptiness for just a moment. And then we're going to re-engage like we are right now, focusing, inhaling through the nose, exhaling from the mouth. And we're going to start with an inhale as we inhale. Two, three, four, feeling full, feeling amazing, relaxing into the fullness, and then releasing. Two, three, four, five, six. Beautiful. Now rest in the emptiness. Just sit in that empty space for a moment. And now engage the lungs as you inhale. Two, three, feeling the lift. Four, and relaxing it all. Feeling that amazing, rich fullness. And then surrendering. Two, three, four, five, six. And rest in the void for just a moment. Rest in that space. This empty space is just as important as the full space. And now engage the lungs as you inhale. Two, three, four, feeling full, feeling relaxed, and then releasing. Two, three, four, five, six. Beautiful. I'm going to ask you to continue this rhythm. Sit in that void for a moment. Just be in the emptiness. Get comfortable in the emptiness. As you engage the breath, continue to carry on. Carry the count on your own. Let that breath. This breath is life force. This breath is prana. This breath is chi. This is the energy that animates your entire existence. Bring that breath into this body. Bring it into every cell of this body. As you reach that top and as you surrender the old air to get room for the new, let the body relax and respond to it as you come down to the bottom and surrendering into that emptiness. Continuing through. And now I want you to continue as you take in these words. Just let them wash over you. Feel them. Just be a part of them. I am the evolution of God realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized, and from that, excuse me, I create, expand, and engage. I am. And just feel that. Be in that. And now I want you to consciously allow your energy to expand back out again. Just feel the field expanding and moving back out into the world to whatever degree it does. Just being in that experience as you've just cleansed and opened up the space, bringing your conscious awareness and your attention to this moment in this experience right now. And let's get present together as we carry on our conversation. about triggers, momentum, and change. So we spent a little time before this meditation talking about what my experience was. So in unraveling it, what I want to do is pick apart what I saw, what I experienced as a result of the thought. But remember, the thought was the accumulative thought. So building up to this event, I was having some insecurity. I was having some image issues. There was stuff just, you know, it's the typical stuff. I'm going to be around people I've never been with before. I'm going on a trip with people I've never been on before. I'm going skiing, which I haven't done in decades. So there's all of these amazing emotions and all of these conflicted emotions even. And so for me, it was about just maintaining the space of being aware that they're there and not attending to them much, not giving them a lot of credence, but knowing, realizing that that's, you know, a natural part of things sometimes. It's all new. So use your daily practice, use your meditation to bring it to a focused place where you can keep the momentum, your own momentum going. You can make your own choices. Remember, fear is a choice. So I don't need to choose those things, but I can be aware that I'm having some stuff go on and I can attend to it and I can make it better. I can influence it with better energy. I can go to better feeling thoughts. I can move this in a direction that is not debilitating. So that's what I thought I had been doing for the time coming up to the trip. That's what I do in preparation for any event. I love to have the time to prepare myself and my energy and my space to fully embrace and engage things that I choose to involve myself in. And I don't mean that in any kind of weird way. It's just the way I like to do things because I want to feel fully engaged. So standing at the window, so all of that's going on in the days before. So standing at the window, getting my lift ticket. Isn't that kind of funny? I'm getting my lift ticket and I'm going into the toilet. So it's pretty funny. But everything crashed in that moment. At the moment that I thought I had failed myself by leaving my wallet at home, and I know that sounds ridiculous, but if any of you who have any type of organizational thing, if you're good at organization, when you don't do that, or when you miss it, it's sort of like, what just happened? That's my MO. That's what I do. So how could I be so far out of alignment with myself that I'm not attending to my details? Right? Does that make sense? How could I be so far out of alignment with myself that I'm not attending to my details, the things that I do naturally all the time? So here I am standing in that moment. And I can tell you all the varied things that were going on. I was embarrassed for myself. I was uncomfortable for my friend, who's a relatively new friend. And I didn't want to look like I was irresponsible. And here I felt like I was looking irresponsible, which is completely irrational. Because my wallet's just back at the house, I'm thinking, I'm going to go pay him as soon as we're done. We're good. That insecurity then coincided with my insecurity about skiing. Insecurity that's natural. I've only been on skis once in 25 years, right? But it doesn't have to be a thing. It's just an acknowledgement. Yeah, I haven't been on skis in a while, so I need to be patient with myself. I want to be accommodating with myself. I want to make sure I feel comfortable. And I'm not going to push myself so hard that I'm going to hurt myself, because I want to feel good and I want to feel safe in the environment. And I want to enjoy myself more than anything. That's why I'm here. I want to have a great time. So in the context of that one thought, that one element, that one, why did I leave my wallet at home? Why did that happen? Because that's where it went off the rails. It wasn't so much the leaving the wallet. It was me needing to understand why I left the wallet. Why did I do that? How did I miss myself so much? So that brings in the levels of insecurity. And then that has already created a momentum, an energy flow, right? Because I'm stuck in this, how did I do this? How could I have possibly done this when it's so out of my element? And as soon as I give license to that thought and that idea, what begins to unfold is anything that supports it, right? Like attracts like. So anything that has to do with feeling insecure, I'm insecure with the people I'm hanging around, that now becomes a thing. I'm insecure about skiing, that now becomes a thing. And they all become a thing because I'm not enough now. I forgot my wallet. I'm not enough now. Is that the craziest thing you've ever heard? I think so, but it ruined or had the potential to ruin my entire experience. It definitely influenced it. And I really had to battle in myself continually throughout the day to stay present, to stay connected, and to stay involved in a constructive way. And I was doing it. And I mean, my world was gooding up and down that mountain. My world is good. Generating that positive momentum in myself. And it would last for a short period. And then I would try to do it again. Because in the meantime, I had already started this crazy wave of emotion and momentum that was crashing on the shores of my experience nonstop. Right. And so that momentum, and I don't want to repeat it all, because that momentum carried on into the night and carried on so much so because I didn't know what to do with all the things that were going on. And so many things hit at the same time. This is what triggering is about. So many things hit at the same time. I didn't know where to put my attention. So I tried to keep my attention into a positive space, into a positive place. But the momentum of why did I forget my wallet just wouldn't leave me alone. And that evolved, of course, over the day and into the night to greater insecurities and greater ridiculousness and greater levels of insanity for me, to the point that I didn't sleep that night. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk about the effect of the momentum on the other side of the break. And think about this in your own world. Think about how this happens in your world. I'm trying to be really granular with this because it's important to understand how we stack crap together, how our minds operate, which are not necessarily in our best interest. It's when I say it's not in our best interest, I mean that it follows our lead. So if it's an image issue, so I left my wallet at home. I didn't, but in that case, I thought I had left my wallet. I thought I had done something that I don't do. That created a chink in the armor, as it were. It created a chink in my confidence. And that was all that was required for any insecurities that were hanging around to saturate my experience. One thought, why did I leave my wallet? How could I have done, and then of course that leads to more. But on the other side, we're going to get into this momentum piece and talk about that for a minute because I think it's important. We're going to be back right after this.
Science of Transformation Method, and I can't tell you the difference that it's made in my life.
This program is all about you coming into the greatest form of you. Bringing me back in. Hi, guys. TheScienceTransformation.com. If you're interested in working with me, if you'd like to, I have an amazing program, a coaching program that's all aligned to all the same stuff. This show, the book, the program, it's all about the same thing, about changing your relationship with fear, changing your relationship with the things that keep you from being the best version of yourself. www.TheScienceTransformation.com. Check it out. There's videos there. There's testimonials there. You'll learn a lot, and you can also reach me to set up a free consultation. I usually do a 30-minute to talk about the program to see where we're at together and see if we're a fit to this program. And then I also offer an introductory package for the first two sessions. So check that out again, thescienceTransformation.com, and I think you're going to find it's pretty awesome. And we'll be right back somewhere. All right, we are back. Thank you for that. The effect of momentum. So let's carry on with this. We talked a lot about the story of it. So now I want to dive into the momentum of it, because what I want you to understand is that the momentum of some of it had already begun. I had been able to keep a lot of it at bay because it wasn't too intense. It wasn't overwhelming. It was just stuff that I knew would be normal from entering into an experience that I hadn't done in a long time. So that was manageable. You know, that was, I can do this. I can simply, you know, I can continue to shift my vibration, and I can continue to step into this experience so that I'm building more confidence in the experience, right? So there was that momentum was there, just sort of lingering. And when I had that thought, when the thought occurred, how did I not grab my wallet? Why did I not grab my wallet? As I said before, it created this sort of chink in the experience that created this ability for the energy to infiltrate, because now I had questioned my confidence. I was standing in a situation that I couldn't answer for in the immediate because I thought I had left my wallet at home. And because I'd left it at home, that created this whole other experience of insecurity. So now the stuff that I was already insecure about jumps into the fray, and now it's a tidal wave of energy. It's a tidal wave of emotion and momentum. And again, I'm good at understanding that and seeing that. So I was aware of it, and I just kept working to shift it, to change it. But the amount of the momentum and the amount of trigger that I had going on, right? That was my divide. That's my thing, is my organizational ability and my ability to pay attention to detail. And suddenly I can't even do that for myself. That's where the momentum comes in. That's where this craziness just continues to evolve. So by the time the evening rolled around, you know, of course you go into quiet, everybody's going to bed. I haven't addressed much of it because I've been so busy focused in wanting to maintain and wanting to be successful at the adventure of the day and to be with the people that I was with and to have a good experience. And so trying to keep all that and keep all this and it creates a little bit of crazy. So by the time things settled down that night, the momentum now had gone to a place where it was full on crazy fear, right? Why would I think the mountain was anything other than the mountain? Why would I need to be worried that I couldn't go on the mountain? I saw that as a reflection of the level of insecurity I was feeling about myself because of the situation that had unfolded. Even though at the end of it, I knew that I had the wallet the whole time, that was even worse to me because I was like, really? I did this to myself all day? So I had to take a step back, right? I had to take a step back and say, well, why? Why is that? Well, the important thing is to see how intensely and how insecure I was feeling that I hadn't apparently dealt with in any successful way. I apparently was deflecting it and not really dealing with it. I was trying to push it away instead of saying, hey, this is silly. Let's confront it. And then when I did confront it, when I did sit down and talk to my friend and laid it out in all its ugliness, to me, because to him, it was just, you know, Jim, you're being really hard on yourself. Jim, you're being a little, you're taking this very intensely. And I'm like, I know that. And I realize that I'm doing that and talking about it, being able to share it, being able to engage another human about my crazy was important because it got it out of my head and got it here. So I could see it outside of my brain in a way that I could look at it and say, yeah, this is not useful. And since I created that momentum, I now haven't slept. I don't feel like I can engage physically this way. So let's just take the time to repair. Let's take the time to get ourselves back together. So that's what I chose to do. And even that was a challenging decision because now I'm going to disappoint all of my friends who came to do this trip with us. And I'm going to stay at the house because I got to deal with myself. And the funny thing was, they understood all of it. They were completely understanding of the basics, you know, the whole situation. I'm a new guy in this situation. These guys have had a history together for decades. They've spent tons of time together. They know each other forward and backward. They have rhythms going about their own experience because that's what they do when they travel. So it just fueled the momentum even further. I'm hoping you're seeing and you're connecting the dots with me as we're talking about this, because it's so powerful to have the ability to see where the momentum takes you, even when you can't do anything about it. Because it's important to see how much energy we build up about those things to trigger us, right? I built up all of this intensity because I overthink so much, right? I overthink the process. It could have simply been, oh, what a goofball. How could I have left my wallet at the house? Billy, can you help me out? And I'll get back to you when we get, yeah, no problem, blah, blah, blah. Keep it light, keep it going. I could have probably did that in words, but I couldn't do it. I wasn't successful doing it in energy. I wasn't successful doing it in my head on the inside, because again, the momentum was already there. The thought occurred, the insecurity took over, and boom, there I was. So the effect of the momentum is profound, but you have to understand that momentum is momentum. So when you're in the height of the momentum of that energy, there is little you can do to affect it in that moment when it's at pitch, right? So you have to be able to let it wind down. You have to be able to let that momentum slow up. So you have to stop contributing to it. So you take your attention off of it. You don't focus on it. You look for things that are positive in the environment. You look for ways to engage the people you're with. This is what I'm doing for myself. You look for ways to be honest about how you're feeling and just be in the moment, right? Be in the moment of letting things sort of settle out. It took me until 6:30 the next morning to get there because I spent all night spinning. Because I don't know why, except that I wanted to understand this process because it seemed very important to me to have gone from I'm going on this amazing vacation to how could I be such a loser? And they seem unrelated, but they're completely related in my world. So once the momentum shift occurred, I could create a new momentum of energy by focusing in the things that I know, by doing my daily practice, by focusing on my breath, by taking a walk and getting in nature, by connecting in ways that I wasn't able to get past myself in the previous day. Because once the momentum began, you're kind of on the ride till the ride's over. It's just the nature of energy. It just, until it dissipates. It will dissipate, but you have to let it, right? And so once that's dissipated, once that momentum settles down, then you can begin to add influence. Then you can begin, and I was doing it the whole time, right? In an effort to try to shift the energy, but I didn't have any purchase. I didn't have any ability to start a new momentum with it until I cleared the space of what was in here and brought it out here so I could see it, see that it wasn't serving me, change the energy, had a little welling up, a little energy release because of the frustration I was feeling, and it dissipated the energy and the momentum. And I was able to then shift out and, as I said, had a remarkable, remarkable rest of the trip. So I'm looking for my next thing here. So what's the message here? The message is do your work. It's true for me. It's true for everybody. I wanted to share the story today because consciousness work, transformation, all of this stuff is amazing and it's incredible and it's powerful and it's uplifting and the joy is unbelievable at times. But there are times that it's not pretty. There are times that it's ugly and frustrating and debilitating. Because that's what helps us understand who we are better. It's part of what I want to be conscious of my process. I want to be conscious of what's going on in my life. So I get to have these experiences sort of in 3D or 4D or whatever you want to call it, where I'm observing it and I'm experiencing it almost simultaneously because I'm so enraptured by the fact that I'm having a triggered moment. The larger part of me is kind of fascinated while the human part of me is going, what the hell? What's wrong with me? What's going on? So you see this sort of changing roles thing going on continually in the process until you release that energy and the momentum begins to die down and you begin to recreate a new energy or a more uplifting energy for where you really want to be, what you want to do. So doing your work means you got to have the tools in place, guys. You got to have those things like meditation and breath, focus, awareness, being present in the moment, all of these tools that you got to have or that are good to have because they give you places to go when you're in those spaces, right? And especially sometimes the people are just as important, having those important people that you can connect to and take a, I mean, the conversation that I had with Bill lasted maybe 15 or 20 minutes, but it was a powerful conversation that helped me to unravel that ball of energy that had been built up as it rolled down the hill. Excuse me, talking a lot. So at the moment that you feel yourself go out of alignment is when you really have to kick in and do your work. Understand that depending on the level of the trigger, you know, the self-confidence issue, the worthiness issue, whatever the core issue is in there, which both were going on for me, you have to be able to observe it as you're experiencing it, even though you're triggered. And part of that observation is recognizing that this too shall pass, but I'm going to continue to try to add influence to changing that energy by the way I'm thinking. So I'm being more attentive of my thought process. I'm being more attentive of the things that are spinning in here so that I can create change in that. So that's the stuff I was talking about going down the mountain where I've turned it into a punishment now, and I've got to do this, and I've got to be good for them, and I've got to show up for them, and I've got to be able to ski right, and catching that and saying, time out, ski you, Jim, just ski you. If you try to ski them, you're going to fall all over this mountain. Ski you. So now understand it permeates everywhere. It goes into every nook and cranny that is available that you can allow that energy to go to continue to stimulate the momentum because the mind is still going. It hasn't had the thing to break the cycle yet. So doing the work is recognizing that. It wasn't like I spent the whole day in hell. I went through periods of really good stuff where I was in a good space, but then something else might happen. Maybe I'm going down the mountain and I'm noticing my center is off and I can't seem to get set into my center. And that creates another form of insecure. Why can't I get centered? I can always get centered. Why can't I get grounded here? I always have the ability to ground. So you see how the momentum continues to stimulate that stuff. So you have to be in conscious awareness of your process and being able to shift as you can, go to a better feeling place the best you can. It's not necessarily going to feel great, but it'll at least feel better than it did. And you keep migrating that feeling better than it did feeling as much as you can because you're doing the work. You're doing that internal process of shifting and changing what's happening in yourself rather than succumbing to this overwhelming feeling of being triggered and now I'm a mess and I can't function. I was never at a point that I was a mess and couldn't function. I made a conscious decision when I realized that I had been up all night to not engage physically the next day because I didn't have the energy or the focus for it. And I did not want to go on the mountain and just fall all over the place because that would serve nothing. What would serve is recognizing the state of my energy and making a choice to serve my energy. I really want that to come across here. The choice was to serve my energy in the moment, to get it to the place that I know it, where I know I'm back in center, where I'm back in alignment with who I am. Because if my alignment is here and I'm operating from here, not much good can happen there. Because I'm going to feel that. Whether you're conscious of it or not, you're going to be aware of the disconnect of your own alignment because you know when you feel good and you know what makes you feel good, right? So do your work. Do that work of being conscious of your process. Do the work of noticing how your mind is out of control. You may not be able to change it in the exact moment it's occurring, but be aware of it because you will be able to change it as the energy dissipates. And you may be able to influence it while it's going a little nutty, but when it's at full tilt, it's really challenging to stop. So being aware of it is the key. And so for me, being aware of it means I need to retreat. I need to go back into my space and find my energy space and find my zone. And so that was really what the conversation with Bill was about, was being able to clear all that debris out so that I could then be in the space of who I am and bring that forward. And then as I look at the things that triggered me, I can say, wow, okay, I didn't realize I had that much insecurity going on about X, or I didn't realize I was that attached to some experience or feeling or whatever the experience is for you. Understanding what's happening for the self so that when it's time, when you come to a place where that momentum winds down, you know exactly what to do to engage your energy into the place that aligns you, into the place that takes you to that connected space. And then you have an amazing experience of learning, because now you can take all of the things that you experienced into this aligned space and process it, right? You can let it unfold so that you can see the things you need to see and release the things you don't need. And that part of it, to me, is the joy of the process, because you learn so much about who you are. You learn so much about what motivates you, and you can, in that moment, change it. You can, in that moment, do something different. So I hope that this conversation has been helpful. I know there's a lot here, and I was hoping that, as it's funny how this happens, but I was hoping that as I talked about this, it would narrow the field. And really what it did is it opened it up even more, because there's so much we can talk about with regard to triggers and so much we can talk about with regard to momentum. So all of those things are important. But I hope today, the thing that I want you to really see and hear of this is how one thought can derail so many things. And recognizing that that one thought already had some momentum behind it, because you couldn't get there without it. Does that make sense? You had to have fulfilled this. I had to have fulfilled this experience of, why did I leave my wallet at home? Because I was already in this momentum of insecurity that I was trying to keep at bay. And this was the way that I could blow it all up so that I could look at it a little differently. So I could change my perspective so that when I look out into the world, I'm not seeing insecurity, I'm seeing confidence. When I look out into the world, I'm not seeing unworthiness, I'm seeing confidence and I'm seeing worthiness. And that's really in the end what it's about. And giving yourself the time and space to do that is so, so, so important. And maybe you didn't have the time, maybe you don't have the time in a certain situation where you can disconnect as quickly. Continue to focus into the things that you can do until you can disconnect from the situation long enough to let the momentum die down, so that you, if you have to re-engage it, you're going to re-engage it from your aligned self, from your conscious self, and not from your triggered self. Does that make sense? Keeping that space so that you're not being involved from your triggered self, but from your conscious and aware self. So I know I said a lot. I know I talked a lot. I appreciate you guys so much. I appreciate you being out there. I appreciate your feedback and your comments, and I appreciate your engaging the show. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of Adventures in Truth. And I hope you have an amazing weekend. We are on this Friday getting ready for somewhere between 2 and 4 feet of snow this weekend. So I'm looking forward to an amazing weekend of snow fun. And I hope your weekend is fantastic. I look forward to seeing you next week. We're going to have some great shows next week. And I look forward to seeing you then. So thank you all for being here, and have an awesome night. Bye-bye, everybody. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Livecast. Please like, subscribe, and share. If you'd like to learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, check it out at www.fearisachoicebook.com. Also check out Moments of Truth, a new offering from Adventures in Truth. If you'd like to work with Jim, check out www.thescienceTransformation.com to book a session. Tune in live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and every Friday, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Or look for our new releases and podcasts every Monday. Until next time, be well, and we'll see you again on Adventures in Truth Livecast.